Up the Word of God and study the Word of God today. I hope you cherish that time of opening up God's amazing Word. Let's pray together as we do that. Lord Jesus, we love you. You've changed our lives. Lord, this time is all yours. It's all for you. Lord, I pray as we open up your Word that we would be faithful to it. Help us to realize the amazing gift that your Word is to us. So, God, we commit this time to you, and we pray all of this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to do a three-week series that, starting today, talks about the battle for the gospel. The battle for the gospel, and it really comes out of my trip to Germany, as I was there in Germany during the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And I'm going to do three parts, and the first part is this, convicted by the Word of God. I want to highlight the hero of the Reformation. It was God using a man by the name of Martin Luther to turn the church back to the Word of God. Now, I want to ask you today, do we need to battle for the gospel today? Absolutely. I want to tell you there are Catholic churches and Protestant churches that are not teaching the Word of God. They're not teaching the principles of the Word of God. There are people who want to diminish or dismiss or deceive when it comes to the Word of God. We're to battle against that. Why? Why? Because the stakes are so high, my friends. Eternities are at stake. The stakes are so high. And we ought to love the Word of God. We ought to love the message of it. The fact that our God loved us enough to come and die on the cross for us. We need to battle for the gospel. Riverview Church needs to battle for the gospel. Because people want to change it. They want to diminish it. They want to deceive people. They want to distort it. The bottom line of today's message is this. The Reformation changed the world and the Christian church by calling believers back to the authority of God's Word. When we open up the Word of God, we're to receive it for what it is, the very Word of God, and allow it to feed us spiritually. Just like every morning you get a little food to feed yourself physically, we need to take the Word of God and feed ourselves spiritually. We need to get back to the authority of the Word of God. The Reformation is a wonderful example of how one man's stand can powerfully impact the lives of others and honor God in the process. That if we see that the gospel is being distorted or if people are being deceived, that we turn people's hearts back to the authority of the Word of God. It's a joy when you can do that. It's a joy when you can do that. When you see the problem, you address it immediately. I picked up my wife from Germany. I came home a little earlier from Germany than my wife did, and I left the house, and everything was fine. Went to LAX to pick her up, and she and three of my kids came back with her from Germany. And when we got back to the house, I pulled into the driveway, and I saw water on my driveway, and I said to my wife, "Why is there water on our driveway?" And she, of course, had just come from Germany. She had no idea. And then I realized, why is water coming out under my garage door? And then I realized it was a big problem, amen? So I did what any guy would do. I said, "I'm going to fix that problem tomorrow." Is that what I said? No, of course not. I said, "I need to fix that problem right now." I opened up the garage door and found that my water heater had burst and water was pouring over the top of my water heater coming out of my garage and shut off the water main and dealt with the problem immediately. That's the kind of approach we need when it comes to deception in this world today. That's the kind of approach we need when it comes to people who are deceiving others and not staying true to the Word of God. This is the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. I thought, what better time for us to study a bit about what happened during the Reformation? Why is that time important? 1517 is when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the Wittenberg door at the Castle Church in Wittenberg. That's about how many years after Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue? How many years after that? 25 years after Christopher Columbus, so kind of around the same time frame. It's also about 500 years after what happened. You know, when you talk about Christopher Columbus discovering America, 1492? 500 years after the Vikings discovered America. I found this article. The Vikings' early expeditions to North America are well documented. This is right off of Google. And well accepted when Eric the Red had a son by the name of Leif Erikson who discovered America in 1000 A.D. They never get credit, those Norwegians. They don't get credit for it. 500 years after that, Martin Luther took a hammer and a nail and nailed 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church. I showed this picture a couple weeks ago of the castle church, beautiful church in Wittenberg. We went to the very door where the 95 theses were nailed. Inside, the church is beautiful. It's a beautiful place. I said a couple weeks ago that it lifts your eyes upward. But the problem was the Catholic Church had left much of the teachings, some of the key teachings of our faith, and had been teaching people something that was not in the Word of God. You know, when I was going to go to Wittenberg, I thought, I want to go online and find out what Germany is doing to celebrate these 500 years. It's the 500-year anniversary. And I searched online. I found the official site for the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. And I was ready to hear, and I saw there was a video there. And I was ready to hear the story of how Martin Luther had stood against the tide of false teaching, had called the church back to the Word of God. But I want to tell you, I was disappointed. I want to share with you the video that I watched. And it broke my heart. And it reminded me why so many of the churches are dead in Germany. I watched this video. The audio is a little bit hard to understand, but I think you'll get it. I took this off of the German website for the information about the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. Listen to this.
A thought, a tiny seed, an idea. 500 years ago, people started questioning the world, and that was enough to change it. They set out from many places with different questions. Humanists, free thinkers, and those seeing the world with new eyes. In 2017, we'll celebrate what started 500 years ago. Reformation means asking questions about the world.
Von Wittenberg ging eine große Bewegung hinaus nach ganz Europa und so werden wir einen Bus auf Tour setzen durch 67 Städte Deutschlands und Europas und dort werden Tore gestaltet in Rumänien, in Sibiu, Hermannstadt. Oder nehmen wir beispielsweise Genf und die Schweizer Reformation oder auch Cambridge, was heißt Reformation in England? Und natürlich Berlin, reformatorisch sein in Berlin heute.
And in May 2017, these gates will come back. They'll return to the place where it all began, to Luther's city of Wittenberg, and the World Reformation Exhibition, being part of art, music, and theater, and celebrating real-life ecumenism with Christians of all church traditions, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus.
Ab 24. Mai gibt es 2017 dann einen großen deutschen evangelischen Kirchentag in Berlin und kleinere Kirchentage auf dem Wege in Halle, Dessau, Leipzig, Erfurt, Jena, Magdeburg. Der Höhepunkt aller Feierlichkeiten wird der große Festgottesdienst am 28. Mai 2017 auf den Elbwiesen vor der Silhouette Wittenbergs. Und dort werden wir schon die Nacht vorher zusammenkommen zu einem Taizé-Gebet, um dann zu diesem Gottesdienst mit Hunderttausenden zusammen zu sein und zu feiern 500 Jahre Reformation.
Set out. On your way.
You know, when I saw this video, I thought to myself, it misses the very heart of the Reformation. It only mentions Luther's name as Luther's city of Wittenberg. To me, it would be like doing a video on the amazing human body and talking only about the fingers and toes and not talking about the brain and the heart. See, what the Reformation was all about was calling the church back to the authority of God's word. And how one man, this is a true David versus Goliath story, how one man stood against the powerful tide of the church that was preaching a false gospel. And I want to answer in this mini-series some really important questions. How did the split happen between the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches? How did that happen? If somebody asks you, I've been asked that question. How did it happen? What brought about that split? Here's another question I want to answer in this series. Why are there so many denominations? How did that happen? Why was the Reformation such an important time in the history of the church? And what were the passages of God's word that energized the Reformation? What caused Luther to take a stand and say, we're not teaching the word of God? What were the passages that energized that? And that should energize you in your walk with God so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are today, just like it preaches in Romans 5:1, justified by faith. Exactly. Not by works. Not by works. That is contrary to the teachings of God's word. That is contrary to the very meaning of the cross. In that video, there was no mention of the Bible. There was no mention of Jesus and the cross. The heart of the message was lost. And as I read that and watched that video and read the website and how little was done to explain what the real meaning of the Reformation was all about, I felt convicted by God. We need to talk about this in our church. I want to put the Reformation in context so that you have a context by which you can talk to others about this. See, there was a simmering dissent against some of the teachings of the Catholic Church. And I want you to know, we're not just guarding ourselves against false teaching in the Catholic Church. It's happening in the Protestant Church as well. We need to guard against that wherever it occurs. If it occurs in Riverview Church, we're to guard against that, to take the Word of God and follow what it says, my friends. In fact, in 1413, there was a man by the name of John Huss in Bohemia who began to teach things that were contrary to what the Catholic Church was teaching. And as a result of his teaching, he was declared a heretic and he was burned at the stake. That was the price that he paid for trying to turn people back to the Word of God. And it was about 100 years later that a man by the name of Martin Luther, who was born in Germany, born in the old country, where he began to study the Word of God. His father was a copper miner. He wanted his son to go to law school. But Luther was out at night one night, and there was a thunder and lightning storm. I was just in Chicago this past week. We were called by a family that we knew and loved in Chicago, and a woman in that family had died that we were very close to, and the family asked if we could come out and do the funeral. And we landed on Friday. We flew out with American Airlines. My wife works for American. And when we landed, we were 2 hours late because of a thunder and lightning storm that had hit Chicago. And when we landed, we were driving, and a massive thunder and lightning storm hit the city again. Something you don't really see that much here in California. But that was a scary experience to drive in that kind of storm, lightning and thunder all around you. Luther was out one night and almost hit by a lightning bolt, and he cried out to God and said, God, if you'll save my life, I'll become a monk. I'll go into the work of the church. And his life was spared, and he did exactly that. To his father's disappointment, he left the study of law and went into the study of theology. He studied at the University of Erfurt in Germany. In 1505, he decided to join the monastic order called the Augustinian Order, a very rigid Augustinian order. He followed all the rules of being a monk. When it came to monkery, he was good at it. He was into self-flagellation. He had a tremendous awareness of his own sin and his unworthiness before God. And he struggled with that. He would lay flat on the floor before God, repenting of his sin. He would frequently go to confession and confess his sin to the point where the priest that he confessed to said, Luther, come back when you do something really bad. Your confession is so mild compared to others that I hear. Come back when you do something that's really bad. But Luther was so aware of his own sin and aware of his own unworthiness before God and knew something was missing in his life, knew something was missing. And as he began to study the Word of God and the truths of it, he found in the Word of God ultimately would freed him from the sin in his life. And it wasn't what he was being taught in the church. It wasn't what he was being taught in his theological studies. So in 1517, he wrote up 95 theses or 95 points of discussion. And when he nailed it to the Wittenberg door, his desire was to debate these 95 theses, to talk about how can we be teaching this when the Word of God teaches this. It was an amazing moment in church history. In 1501, he was excommunicated. And also there was, and we'll talk about this as we go through the series, a meeting called the Diet of Worms. In Germany, the city that they met in was actually pronounced Worms. It's a V sound in German. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, the Diet of Worms will really work for you. That will be a tremendous diet, but that's not what it's talking about here. A diet is a meeting. And it happened in the city of Worms, and that's where Luther took his amazing stand for the Word of God. See, he was born up in a northern city called Wittenberg, and the 95 theses that he nailed to the door shook the Holy Roman Empire to its core. It changed the world. One man standing against every other priest and monk and every other church leader that was teaching false doctrine. And I hope today you realize the impact that one life can have. Do you know that? That wherever God places you, you can have an impact for the Word of God. To be a light in darkness. Don't ever diminish what God can do through you, my friends. Look at the life of Martin Luther, a man who was willing to risk everything. Not that he was perfect. He wasn't. And not that we agree with every point of his theology. We don't. But he definitely called the church back to justification by faith and faith alone. One of the formative trips that he took was a trip to Rome. And there's a movie that I've watched about Luther's life. I thought I'd share with you this scene about Luther going to Rome. This is before he nailed the theses on the door. And he was in Rome and people were trying to sell him relics that would bring him good luck and help him with this problem and that problem. And then he went to the church in Rome and there he does penance by climbing up on his knees the stairs of this church and dropping coins into the coffer to try to save a dead relative from purgatory. I want you to watch this scene. I think it's powerful as it shows one of those formative moments in the life of Martin Luther when he realized something's wrong at the core. Watch this.
Name of the deceased and relation?
Hendrik Luther.
Grandfather. And our father on every step. When you reach the top of the stairs, Hendrik will be released from purgatory and enter the gates of heaven. Name of the deceased and relation?
Wolfram Escher.
And our father on every step, when you reach the top of the stairs, Wolfram will be released from purgatory and enter the gates of heaven.
Paternoster Keys and Kate Certificate of Robert. Affiliate Mechanic.
Name of the deceased and relation?
So what happens in this video is he sees something that doesn't match the Word of God. And he would write about this experience going to Rome and began to confront things like papal authority. Did the Pope have ultimate authority to speak over the Word of God and to say things that were contrary to the Word of God, and papal abuses that even Catholic theologians highlighted during that period that were happening in the Catholic Church? And the deeds of penance, as illustrated on this video, pay this amount, climb up these stairs, praying the Lord's Prayer at every step, and your dead relative will be freed from purgatory into the gates of heaven. Then the sale of indulgences. The indulgences were borrowing on the good deeds of saints that had lived in the past. It was called the treasury of merit, that with money, you could get some of the good deeds that others had done in the past, some of the deeds of the saints apply to your account so that your time in purgatory would be shortened, or you could go directly to heaven. But Luther said, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not in the Word of God. And a new sale twist was the sale of indulgences for those who were dead. That became very prominent during Luther's lifetime. See, Luther objected to the way, for example, a man by the name of John Tetzel or Johann Tetzel was selling indulgences. He would go from city to city challenging people to give money to free people from purgatory. And these indulgences were documents, you saw it in Luther's hands, that were prepared by the church and bought by individuals. Tetzel would preach, once the coin into the coffer clings, a soul from purgatory, heavenward springs. And as Luther, this monk who studied the Word of God and studied the original languages, began to find the truth of the Word of God, he realized this was not what the Word of God taught. I found this 2-minute trailer from a documentary about Luther. And I thought this would give you, as we start this series, a little taste of what this man was like. It's not the same actor that plays Luther, but I want you to watch this as we get into this series on the Reformation.
The first thing I ask is that people should not make use of my name. For what or who is this Luther?
The world dwells in darkness. The world is darkness.
The stars were aligned for a perfect storm, and that's what we got with the genius of Martin Luther.
The time for silence is over. The time to speak has come.
He said, the church has got it backwards.
He was speaking boldly. He was just saying the word that needed to be said.
So for the sake of Scripture, we should reject both Pope and councils.
Luther's views on this were radical. They revolutionized society.
There was this suspicion that the whole thing was a kind of spiritual con.
And I will not retract anything.
It's pretty amazing that he did not die as a murdered man.
If I am shown my errors, I will be the first to throw my books on the fire. I am bound to defend the truth with my blood and death.
This
is extortion.
For Luther, the Reformation was a return, taking the church back to the foundation of the Scripture.
One might say Luther was like the first celebrity.
I did nothing. The Word did everything.
I love that last statement. I did nothing. The Word did everything. Hey, I want to talk about some of the foundational realities. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, New Testament. Luther loved the book of Galatians. Much of the book of Galatians talks about exactly what fired him up for the word of God and for the freedom that Jesus Christ had given us from our works and trying to somehow please God by our goodness. That wasn't what it was all about. I like what Luther said about the book of Galatians. His work on Galatians is where you find much of his views on salvation apart from works. Luther described his love for Galatians in vivid terms. He said, the epistle to the Galatians is my epistle to which I am betrothed. It is my Kate von Bora, who later became his wife. He said, I'm engaged. I'm ready to be married to this amazing epistle that talked about the freedom that we have in Christ. When you open up the Word of God, you read about yourself and how you were in bondage, and yet you were made free. Free from the penalty of your sin. Let's read starting at verse 6. As he writes this letter to the church in Galatia, he says this: I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Is that happening today? Absolutely. There are people who want to distort the gospel of Christ. We need to stand up for it. It's why Jesus came and died. So here's the first thing I want you to remember, and it's in your notes, you can write it down. The uniqueness of the gospel of Christ. We've mentioned in the past that when you take all the other world religions, it's all about what I can do to somehow impress God. What can I do to impress God that he would let me into heaven? But the uniqueness of the gospel of Christ, and my friends, there is only one gospel. The word here in the Greek is the word euangelion. It's two Greek words pushed together. EU meaning the word good, angelion meaning message. The word gospel here in the text in Galatians means the good news. There's only one. Only one. I know that's not politically correct, but we follow what the Word of God says. He says in verse 7, not that there is another one. You're turning to a different gospel, but there isn't another one. There's only one good news. It's Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. See, the uniqueness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this. It's about what God did to win your heart. It's about God pursuing you all the way to the cross and God providing a way by which our sins can be forgiven. Not by climbing upstairs on our knees and saying the same prayer over and over again, but by the amazing work of the God of this universe, worthy to be the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And by faith in him, you are set free. See, there is only one good news, my friends. And Luther read that in the gospel, in the work of Galatians, in the letter to the church at Galatia. Let's keep reading, verse 8. But even if we, or an angel from heaven. Wow, if you had an angel from heaven come and visit you, that'd be pretty powerful, right? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be what? What's the word there? Accursed. You might say, Mel, that sounds so unloving. How could Paul say that? Well, here's the next point, the target that the gospel has become. Because Jesus' message is so powerful, it's a target. People want to distort it. People want to deceive others around them. And they'll talk about how Jesus isn't worthy to take the sins of the world upon himself, that he isn't worthy to pay the price for your sins, that you have to earn your way to heaven. That's distortion. That's deception. And even if an angel from heaven preaches to you a gospel that is different than the one we preach, Paul says, let him be cursed. And he says it again, as we've said before. So now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, Let him be accursed. I use this illustration when people say, well, Mel, that sounds so unloving. No, it's really the most loving thing you can do. Because the stakes are so high. If you were on a canoe by Niagara Falls and you were a tourist and didn't realize that the Niagara Falls was down the river and I was on the shore, the most loving thing I can tell you as you're heading down that river towards Niagara Falls is what? Turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're heading towards destruction. It's the most loving thing I can say. My friends, that's the message we've been given. It is the most loving message the world has ever heard. There's one gospel. There's one. Can't change it, can't reinvent it, can't distort it, can't deceive it. Humans have no authority over it. It doesn't matter what the polls of this world say. There's one gospel, and it's a target, and people want to destroy it. So here's the thing. There are those who wish to distort and deceive. I hope you know that it's all around you. There are those that wish to distort it. Luther realized that finally. This is not what the Bible teaches. Here's the reality. Jesus is the truth, and his truth is worthy to be shared and defended. Jesus is the truth. He said it himself, I am the way, not a way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What's the penalty then for altering the gospel? Luther began to realize it. As he studied, he loved the book of Galatians. The penalty for distorting the gospel is the reality that that person would be accursed, permanently shut off from God because they're preaching the wrong message. They're distorting the gospel. Then Paul says this, and he realized this is a tough message, right? He realized this is hard. Verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? What approval are you seeking today, my friends? Are you seeking the approval of man or of God? Paul says this, or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to still please man, I would not be a what? A servant of Christ. It's that simple. Paul knew that following Jesus Christ would mean that there would be opposition. Jesus knew it. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. He predicted it. He knew it would come. But then he said these amazing words, but take courage. I have overcome the world. See, he knew that as we go out and preach this amazing message of God's amazing grace, that there would be opposition. I did that funeral yesterday, and I want to tell you, the whole point of my message, the core of my message, was God's amazing grace. What makes God's grace amazing? What makes it amazing? It's that we don't deserve it. It's God's riches, that acrostic that you might have learned in the past. We've talked about it. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what makes it amazing. And as the church began to deviate from God's amazing grace and taught people to buy indulgences to get into heaven and do penance to pay for their sin, they moved away from the amazing story of God's grace. And today, each one of us every day ought to fall in love with God and who he is and love him more for the sake of the amazing grace that we've experienced. See, the motivation for standing against the unbelieving crowd, what is it? There is an all-encompassing goal to please God. That we would leave this place today saying, God, my desire is to please you, not for salvation, We don't try to please God to get into heaven. Because why? We already have salvation. It's given to us as a free gift. But now, out of love for what God has done for us, we live for Him. We die to ourselves because we want to love God. We want to live our lives as an act of love to Him. See, Martin Luther became captive to the Word of God. Our time is already up. We'll pick this up next week. Verses like this one, Matthew 4:17. As you know, the Catholic Church used the Latin Vulgate, which was translated by Jerome in 380 AD. And Jerome actually mistranslated Matthew 4:17. And the church would use this verse, and it was a mistranslation. The Vulgate text said this: "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Do penance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Luther came to this verse and studied it in the original Greek language and realized that that verse had been mistranslated. The Greek word here is metanoia. It's the word for repentance, a change of heart, a change of mind. Metanoia means you're going this way and then you repent and go that way. He realized the one verse that talked about doing penance according to the Latin Vulgate really was a mistranslated verse. It should have read, as we read it in our Bibles today, "From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" See, the love for Christ causes us to turn from our old ways and to follow this amazing new path that Jesus has opened up for us. We are so overwhelmed by the amazing grace of God. And it's not about what I can do to impress God in order to be saved. It's all about what God did for you and for me. Luther began to realize this. What did he do? Did he keep it to himself? No. This amazing David versus Goliath story began to play out as he took a stand for the Word of God, and it changed the world. It changed the world. My friends, that's what we're going to study in this series as we move through what happened in Luther's life and the stand that he took, so that you will have a better understanding of exactly why the church is like it is today. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray and bow our hearts before the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I like what it says in that clip we just watched. As Luther says, "I did nothing, the word did everything." And God, we pray that as we leave this place, we would do what Galatians tells us to do, and that's to stand up for the gospel, the truth that changes people's lives. And so we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing this song. And home group leaders up front who love to pray with you about anything going on in your life, please greet one another, love one another, and live this week all for Him. God bless you. See you on the patio. I run to the throne room. I run to the throne room, and I fall on my face with angels and saints, and all I can say is holy, holy, holy.
every chain will break. His broken hearts declare his praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion.
I just feel like it's kind of like empty. It's not feeling full, like natural. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. No, it's fine. Yeah, I had too much material. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. Welcome to Riverview Church. No, I don't think so. How about the mids? Take some. Can you go to the mid? Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. Welcome to Riverview Church. Now go to the highs. Is it boosted? No, I want more highs and mid highs. A little bit more high. Welcome to Riverview Church. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. There it goes. Yeah. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you. That's it. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay, and then. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here today. Thanks for being here. Welcome to Riverview Church. Great to have you here. Thanks for being here today. Yeah, let's keep it right there. Unless you change.
Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God. Jesus, the very thought of you, it fills my heart with love. Jesus, you burn.
I can't fix on the volume. That should work. That should work.
Once for all.
morning. Welcome to Riverview Church. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
There's no one, for there is no one like us.
will sing, we will sing.